So, question of the day today. Are you more like Mary or are you more like Martha? To help answer that question this morning, we're going to talk about a familiar text in Scripture. We're going to read it and we're going to talk about it a little bit. And as I'm reading the text, I want you to think about who you most resonate in the story. Do you most resonate with Mary or do you most resonate with Martha? Now, there are others in the story, but those are the two that I really want you to think about this morning, in which one you resonate with. So the text comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. You want to go ahead and turn there? You may. And in my Bible, the heading says, "At the Home of Martha and Mary." And I'm sure it's a story you remember. You've probably heard a sermon or two on it in the past. It starts out this way: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. It was very kind of her. Jesus was passing through with his disciples. Martha opened up her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Jesus had came into the home, and he was talking, he was teaching, and here was Mary at his feet, dwelling on his every word. And then in verse 40 it says, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." Food had to be made. The house had to be tidied up. She was feeling a little overwhelmed, and she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." It's a pretty bold statement. Nothing like telling Jesus what to do. "Tell her to help me." And Jesus replied, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." It's a very interesting story. And if I'm being honest, and in full disclosure, I've had my share of difficulty or trouble with this story. I have read this story many times, and I have had trouble with it. I've actually found myself disagreeing with Jesus a little bit at times in the story, because I feel like Martha is kind of right. Like, I'm doing all the work here. I'm doing the good thing. And I've said to myself, Jesus just doesn't really feel like he's being fair. Like, the burden of all the work shouldn't be just on Martha. Like Mary should step up and do some of the work. I've had that feeling like, Jesus, you're being a little harsh. And of course, it's never an easy feeling, or it's always an uneasy feeling, if you will, when you stand in disagreement with Jesus, right? So those feelings when I read this text and think, man, Jesus, I almost don't agree. It's not really a good place to be. And so it feels like it's a text that it's worth kind of looking at and diving into. And here's what I have found. My disagreement has led me to conclude that I sided with Martha in this story because at a time or two I've been Martha. So when you can relate to somebody, you're more likely to defend them. And I'm sure you probably know what I'm talking about. You've been the one out on the barbecue, right? Cooking the 40 hamburgers in the hot, when it's hot, and you're sweating, and the flies are buzzing around, and all that stuff, and the rest of the clan is just off in the air-conditioned family room, just chatting, fellowship, and having a good time. Or they're out on the drink, or they're out on the deck having a, you know, having a drink or whatever. Or maybe they're in the swimming pool while you're flipping the burgers, or they're out on the lake when you're standing over the charcoal. When you're being Martha and they're just out kind of fellowshipping, enjoying their time. You've probably been there before, and if you have, you can relate to how Martha is feeling. It's like, why am I the only one flipping burgers here and everybody else is out there? I've got a lot of nods from right here in front of me. Like, yes, 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 yes. So you sympathize with Martha a little bit, right? We're like, wait a minute, we sympathize. Martha is doing the good thing here. It's like, come on, Jesus. And you're thinking to yourself sometimes, why is nobody else helping? Why does nobody else see the things that I'm doing? Why don't you send somebody over to help me? This would be a lot easier if there was more than just me. Life just doesn't seem fair. Come on now, send some help. Send someone to do the dirty work with me. Maybe you have felt the same way about the story as I have. Maybe you've read it and you thought the same thing, that Jesus was being a little harsh. Like, gosh, he seems like he's being a little harsh on Martha. Maybe it's because you too can relate to Martha. I mean, let's agree that the dirty work still has to be done. The house still needs to be cleaned. The food still needs to be cooked. You don't have Jesus over for dinner and then not have dinner, right? The most important guest in your house. Sorry, I didn't prepare anything. Sorry. So the work still has to be done. So why is it then that Martha seems to be getting the short end of the stick here? I read this and I think, gosh darn it, she should be commended for what she's doing, not criticized. She should be commended for stepping up and doing the work, and doing the cooking. Yet it feels like she's being condemned for it. Doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense. Even Jesus is there, and he needs to be taken care of. And Martha's doing that. She's a great worker. She's a hard worker. And I'm sure her motivation was to make it a very special moment for Jesus. Her intentions are good. Her motivation is good. I have Jesus in my house, and I'm going to go through the work, and I'm going to make this a great meal and a great experience for this very special guest named Jesus. All she wanted to do was give him her very best. And then something bizarre happens in the story. Something negative happens. Rather than being a happy occasion, it turns into a frustrating occasion for Martha. Jesus is in her home. Should be a joyful moment, and now all of a sudden she's angry and she's frustrated. The frustration shows through in verse 40. Let's look at it again. She was distracted with all her preparations. Can this be a case where Martha is so busy serving Jesus that she stopped paying attention to Jesus? Her attention has been distracted off the one thing that is most important. Could we become so busy serving God that we are so distracted and we quit listening to God? We're so busy serving that we stop listening. Of course the food is important. People need to eat. There's an expectation that dinner will be served. The basic necessities of life have to be met. But what if food becomes the focus? What if food becomes the primary objective? This is what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about things in your life. Martha was becoming very worried. She was becoming very anxious. She's worried about things in her life. And Jesus said, don't be worried about what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. It is life. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? He also taught this in Matthew 4:4. People cannot live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God that proceeds from his mouth. Mary was still eating. She was living on the bread that flowed from the very mouth of God. Martha was busy providing a meal, and Mary was living the bread that came forth from the mouth of God. This is what I think. I think our frenetic generation really needs to hear this teaching. We place such a value on ourselves based on how busy we are, it feels like. It's kind of like we wear our super ultra busy lives like a badge of honor. Like, look at how busy I am. Look at how many meetings I have got to go to. Look at how many things I've got to get my kids to. It's almost as though we allow our busy schedules to define our worth. It's crazy. We rush here and we rush there, and then we meet others. And then when we meet others, we talk about how much work we have to do and how busy we are, almost as though we're bragging about it. It almost feels like we're bragging about it, like, my gosh, I got to get my son to this, and then I got to get my daughter here, and then I got to do this, and then I got a meeting here after work, and then I got all day meetings here, and wow, man, I must be important or something with the busy schedule that I have. With everything that I have to do, with all the people that are relying on me, I must be almost like famous. Or maybe you're just being a little bit foolish. We rush here and we rush there, and then we brag about it. I must be important because I have so much to do. We have a frenetic life rather than a focused life. We are like Martha when Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. Perhaps the best thing we can do is stop rushing and just start resting a little bit. Stop moving and start meditating. Perhaps we need to stop worrying about so many things and refocus on the few things that are really important. It's so easy to get out of focus. And I believe that today's text reveals three dangers that can happen when we lose focus on the important things. Take a look at what happened in this text when Martha chose the wrong priority. Three things happened. Number one, her loss of focus causes her to question God's care. She became so focused on the wrong thing that she began to question God's care. Look at verse 40 again. Notice the first thing that Martha says to the Lord. Do you not care? Look at me, Lord. Do you not care about me? There almost seems to be some sort of accusation in her voice, right? When you question God, I mean, when you ask that question, I mean, you're almost accusing them. Like, God, do you not care? That's almost like accusing him that he doesn't, or Jesus, I should say. There seems to be an accusation. Lord, don't you see all the work that I'm doing? Lord, come on, do something. Do you not care about me? Martha was borderline, I sense, getting angry at Jesus, because he continued to let the situation go on and on. And not only did he allow it to go on, he flat out said that, I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not going to take that blessing away from Mary. So he's like saying, Martha, you can complain all you want. I'm not interfering. I'm going to let Mary go around doing exactly what she's doing, and I'm going to let you continue to do what you're doing. I wonder if you've ever wondered if God cares for you. Have you ever gotten so busy with life that it gets so stressful, that your anxiety gets so high that you begin to question the same thing? God, do you really care for me? Why are you allowing me to be burdened by so many things? Do you not care for me? Have you ever accused him of not caring for you? Have you ever questioned where God is when you're going through times of trouble? I'm going to be honest here. I have. And when things get difficult, you're like, hello, God. Are you there? Do you care? I know what your word says. I want to believe that you do, but not really seeing a lot of evidence of it right now. And I think that's what Martha was saying is, Jesus, I'm not seeing a whole lot of evidence that you really care right now. We've all probably been there. You know what I'm talking about. You know that God could fix the situation, yet he seems to sit in silence. I'm sure that if Jesus would have said, hey, Mary, I appreciate you wanting to engage in conversation, but maybe you ought to get up and help your sister. I'm sure Mary probably would have gotten up and went in and helped her sister. He could have stepped in. He could have fixed the situation. Yet Jesus says, no, I'm not going to do that. And sometimes I think we've been in the same place. Jesus, are you going to do something here? And Jesus is like, no, not right now. Not yet. Not until you start focusing on the right thing. When you start prioritizing the right thing, then yeah, then maybe I will. But until then, he's just kind of sitting back and doing nothing about it. But the Bible does teach us that God cares for you. It says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. In Jeremiah 29. Luke 12:6-7 reminds us that five sparrows are sold for 2 cents, yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than any sparrow. The truth is, God does take care of his children. And God does care for his children. And God does love his children. There may be times in your life when you want God to speak to you. When you desperately want God to speak, and he remains silent. But here's what I want to tell you. Don't judge the silence of God as being of unconcern for you, of his unconcern for you. Because here's the thing. He already knows what you're going through. He already knows what you need. And he's always watching over you, even when it doesn't feel like it. Mary didn't feel like Jesus. Martha didn't feel like Jesus cared. But rest assured, Jesus did care. Martha was so worried about the biscuits that she forgot about the blessings. The blessing was the presence of Jesus in her house. Jesus was in her house. What a blessing. She's worried about cooking the biscuits by herself. And Jesus is saying, Martha, do you not see the bigger blessing? I'm Jesus and I'm in your house. Who cares about the biscuits? She was more concerned about the roast in the oven than she was about the relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, look, don't worry about the roast. Sit down, enjoy this relationship that I want to have with you. Loss of focus always confuses the issues. God always cares for you. Here's the second thing that I see happened when she lost focus. Her loss of focus caused her to what? Find fault with others. She lost focus, and now she is criticizing Mary. Now she is finding fault with her sister. In the second part of verse 40, Martha finally explodes with anger, and she says, comes out of the kitchen boiling mad, and she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work alone? Tell her to help me." Wow. Martha has reached a boiling point that actually prompts her to tell Jesus how to do his job. I think Jesus knows what he's doing. He doesn't need anybody to tell him how to do his job. Martha didn't even call her sister by name. She's mad at the world. And she's mad at those who are close to her. And they should know it. How can Mary just leave me out here to fend for myself? Can't even my sister come and help me? Can't my sister even see what's going on? Can't my sister see the work that I'm doing? Why does she think it's okay just to sit there and do nothing to help? Why does that even make sense to her? Have you ever been around people when they get mad? You don't want to do anywhere in the neighborhood. The explosion may not kill you, but the shrapnel will. There are people that when they get mad, they're mad at the world. And they take their frustration out on everything and everyone. Here's some wisdom on the Bible regarding anger. In James 1:19, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Martha wasn't very slow to anger. She wasn't very quick to hear. She wasn't very slow to speak. She was the polar opposite of all those things. Proverbs 22:24 says this, "Do not associate a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself." If you find yourself getting angry because you feel like you're doing things all alone, because you feel like you're too busy, because you feel like people aren't stepping up, maybe you ought to pay attention to what you're focusing on. If your focus is on your situation rather than your Savior, perhaps a refocus is needed. Because I can tell you, when you start focusing on your situation instead of the Savior, you'll be frustrated. You'll be angry. You'll be quick to judge. You'll be quick to speak. You'll be quick to anger. But there's also a third thing that I see in the text that happened when she lost focus. When she lost her focus, she began to have a pity party. First thing she did is question whether Jesus really cared. Second thing she did is start finding fault in others. And then the third thing she did is she started having a pity party. Those aren't good traits in a person. That's not a good look. That's not a good look. Questioning God, finding fault in others, self-pity, it's not a good look. Those are all things that happen when we focus on the wrong things. Do you know what it all boils down to? Martha is feeling like life is not treating her fair. That's it. It's just not right that I'm being treated this way. No one should have to do all the work that I'm doing by themselves. No one cares about me. Everyone cares about Mary, but nobody cares about me. This becomes the world of self-pity. third look at verse 40. And this is the word that I want you to remember. But Martha was distracted by it with all her preparations. But Martha was distracted. It's not that Jesus was really criticizing her for doing the work. He was criticizing her for allowing the work to distract her from what was really important. Remember that word, distracted. There's always going to be things that demand our time. There's always going to be things that pop up that we need to tend to, that we need to take care of. And it's okay to do those things, but we can't allow them to distract us from the more important things. The sense of the word translated distracted here means to be pulled away or to be dragged away. In other words, to be taken captive, to be made a prisoner against one's own free will. The implication is that Martha wanted to hear Jesus. She wanted to be seated at his feet, just like Mary was. She wanted to be seated next to Mary, but she was being pulled away. She was being held captive by her sense of duty, fretting about the meal that has robbed her of the joy of listening to the Lord. Her sense of duty has caused her to lose all sense of joy. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't take our responsibility seriously. We need to take our responsibility seriously. If you have responsibility, take them seriously, but not to the point where you neglect listening to Jesus. Not where you forget or neglect being with Jesus. Not when it causes you to neglect being in relationship with Jesus and hearing from Jesus. I believe that Martha wanted to listen to Jesus as he offers words of abundant life. I believe that she wanted to listen to Jesus as he said, if you want to save your life, you must give it away. I believe that she wanted to listen to him as he explained, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. She wanted to listen to him when he said, pray for your enemies and bless those who curse you. She wanted to listen to him when he said, I am the bread of life. He who eats this bread will live forever. She wanted to listen to him, but she couldn't listen to him, for her mind was being held captive by many things. I believe that we all want to listen to Jesus. We all want to hear Jesus. We all want to be in his presence. But all too often we allow ourselves to be held captive and pulled away and dragged away by the many things. And so then Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Do your tasks. Do the cooking. Do your responsibilities. Do all those things. But don't focus on them. Focus on me. You can still clean the house. You can still go to work. I'm not saying just quit doing all those things. You can still do those things and focus on Jesus. I'm going to close with this story. There's a Scottish legend in which a poor boy who was tending some sheep on a mountainside, and the boy saw a beautiful flower at his feet, and so he picked it. And as he picked it, he heard a great sound. And looking up, he saw on the side of the mountain before him a cave, and within the cave were precious gems and minerals. So he walked into the cave, and he laid down the flower, and he began to gather up the gold and the silver and the precious gems, and he held them in his arms. And when his arms were full, he heard a voice speaking to him, and it said, don't forget the best. So the boy turned again and gathered even more stuff in his arms, in getting a larger load than the last time. And as he was about to leave the cave, he heard the voice yet again, don't forget the best. He's like, I must be missing something. So he continued to gather more and more and more. And then having a full load, the boy left the cave, and at that instant the cave closed behind him, locking him out. And in the wink of an eye, all the boy carried turned to dust, and it was gone. And the voice said, "You forgot the best. The flower that you left behind was the key to your treasure. It opened the door for you. Always select the best, and then you can have the rest." But we get so distracted. We set aside the best to get distracted by all the other things. This is the key. Jesus. Jesus. He is the best. Spending time with him is the best. Your relationship with him is the best. Being in his presence is the best. Hanging on every word that he speaks is the best. Build your relationship with Jesus and you will have everything that you need. We can be busy with so many things in life. There is no shortage of things that you can be busy with. We can become so distracted by what is going on around us that we accuse Jesus of not caring, that we find fault in others, and that we fall into self-pity and completely miss Jesus. As we go through this busy world, never miss what Jesus is up to in your life. Never miss what Jesus is trying to do in your life. Never miss the relationship that Jesus wants to have with you. Never miss the words that Jesus is trying to speak to you. Yes, do your daily tasks, but make sure you're not distracted from what Jesus is speaking and what Jesus is trying to teach. And be so distracted that we don't spend time with him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the reminder this morning of what ought to be important in our lives. Lord, forgive us when we get so darn busy and we wear that busyness as a badge of honor. Forgive us, Lord, when we keep our kids so darn busy and we wear that like a badge of honor. Look at all the things I have my kid in. Yeah, they don't have time for anything else, or they don't have time for relationships with friends, but that's okay because they're in a million other things. Lord, forgive us for those mindsets. Lord, forgive us for those times when we get so busy and distracted that we forget just to spend time at your feet. We get so busy and distracted that we forget to listen to you. And instead we start accusing other people. And then instead we start feeling like you don't care. And then we start wallowing in self-pity. Lord, when we get to those moments in our life, give us the courage, give us the strength to just rest and to just listen and to just be in your presence. Because Lord, when we do that, everything else will take care of itself. We will know that you care. We will know that others care. And we won't wallow in our own self-pity. Lord, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for Mary. That she knew, Mary knew all those other things that needed to be done. But she said, "I'm not going to miss this opportunity that I have in this moment with Jesus in my house to not hear from him." Amen.
Amen and amen. Please stand if you are able.